Did you grow up mountain biking? Chances are you didn't. But that's all changing for the current generation of young girls, thanks in large part to Little Bellas. This amazing nonprofit has spent more than a decade running camps and weekly programs to get girls ages 7 and up out on mountain bikes and develop their confidence along the way. At the head of Little Bellas is Executive Director and Co-Founder Sabra Davidson. In this episode of the Femme Cyclist Podcast, I get to chat with Sabra about Little Bellas and how mountain biking can help mold confident and capable young women. Find out what we can all do to help develop the next generation of femme cyclists, coming up right after the intro. You're listening to the Femme Cyclist Podcast, and I'm your host, Kristen Bonkowski. Like most of you, I'm a bicycle-obsessed rider and sometimes racer. Each week, I'll bring you interviews from inspiring women and offer tips and tricks to help you thrive on the bike. At Femme Cyclist, we celebrate all forms of riding and all forms of women. So whether you're a road racer, bike commuter, or hardcore shredder, you'll find your tribe here. So for the ladies listening who are not already familiar with Little Bellas, can we just start out with you telling us a little bit about that program and what you're trying to accomplish?
Absolutely. So we are a nonprofit that was founded in Vermont about 13 years ago, and we figured out that it's ridiculously fun to get together with a bunch of women and a bunch of girls and ride together, play games and learn how to mountain bike together. And from there, we've grown to about 18 states and 50 programs. And now we have this huge multi-generational network of women on mountain bikes and girls on mountain bikes. So the ages are 7 and up. And, you know, you can imagine a 7-year-old's day and a 13-year-old's day looks pretty different.
Sure.
But we, you know, it's all volunteer driven, and it's just been really fun to teach girls how to mountain bike in a non-competitive, you know, just smile driven way.
So you mentioned it's volunteer driven. How do you train or find the right people to be in those spots?
So we're truly grassroots in that effort. You know, we start in an area by finding an incredible lead. So this woman is typically the mover and shaker in her community, knows a lot of people, and loves riding her bike. And so she starts by getting the word out. And yoga classes, you know, these various different pursuits, our leads are out there trying to get women involved. And as a result, we've had women from all sorts of different walks of life. It's absolutely fantastic. I mean, some people are runners and have never ridden before, and they get to learn along with a 7-year-old. They're like one step ahead. And so we always say, if you can walk and keep up with a 7-year-old, then you're in.
And have you had to like actively go into areas and recruit, or has it been, I mean, because you can go online, right, and put in an application to submit a chapter. Is that how it's grown, or have you guys had to put in more effort into getting those chapters started?
Sure. So sometimes, you know, if I was to answer that, yes, there's one way that new chapters and mentors, come into the organization, that would just be a lie. I mean, the number of different ways that people have found out about us or gotten involved has been one of the simple pleasures of my job. You know, finding and understanding and learning people who love mountain biking is so fun. So I absolutely love that aspect, how people find us, how we find them. And, you know, sometimes it's a mentor in the program who lives an hour and has been driving for 3 years and finally says, you know what, I want to start one in my community. And, or it can be somebody read a New York Times article or, you know, saw Leah race the Olympics, or that's my sister. One size definitely doesn't fit all in that aspect of our organization. And it's a huge benefit.
So you mentioned your sister there real quick. What is her role in the organization versus what is your role?
Sure. So Leah's full-time job is being an athlete, and a lot of people don't know how tiring that is and how wearing it is. It is truly a full-time job. And so she's on the board. She and Angela Irving and I founded the organization together. And throughout our kind of tenure, we've had various roles and we've evolved over time. And so Leah's working with our Pro Ambassadors, a group of professional women who come to the program and engage with our girls. And then Angela does a lot of the fundraising as we're a nonprofit, and I'm the executive director. So it's my job. It wasn't always my job, but it's my job now.
Got it. Where did you guys get the idea for Little Bellas and how did it get started?
It's interesting because I think if you ask each of us founders, it's a different answer. But for me, I came from a running background, and I saw the participation in running as 50-50. And so in shifting to a sport like mountain biking, there were fewer women doing it, and I didn't understand why. And so instead of, you know, seeing a problem and griping about it, I said, yeah, let's change it. Let's create a space where women have a stronghold and girls see them riding and being out there, because it's a lifelong sport. You can ride forever.
Why do you think that women have gravitated more towards running than to biking?
It's an interesting question. If you think about it, in my mind, the barrier of entry is lower. I feel like in my life, I've definitely always been encouraged to run. It's been really easy to do that. And the time investment is lower. To get a good workout and feel tired, it takes a shorter amount of time. And so, you know, those factors, I think, play into participation. You know, obviously that's just a personal opinion, but biking is definitely a higher financial investment and higher time investment, and it's worth it. I mean, it's so fun.
Right.
So, I find that investment most definitely to be worth it. But I think those things play a factor in it, and also risk of injury, different things like that. So I think if you can educate and really make it accessible and make it something that's not scary, because if you're riding within yourself and you know yourself, then it's not scary. You can,
right.
You can walk anything. We do it all the time. You know, my sister's one of the best mountain bikers in the world and she walks. I see her walk. And that's a really empowering thing for these girls and Little Bellas to know that barrier isn't a barrier. It's just
right.
Knowing yourself and your comfort zone.
Yes, I think that's so real. Like, because I tell my husband all the time, I feel like mountain biking is so much less scary to me than downhill skiing, because when I'm on my downhill skis, like, you can't just take them off and walk, right?
Right.
But on my bike, I can go anywhere. Like, it doesn't matter. You can always just get off your bike and walk.
Yeah, and we've seen those people walking on downhill skis, and it's terrifying.
Yeah,
that's not what mountain biking is.
Right, exactly.
You get off and walk, and it's just like going for a walk.
Right. So back to Little Bellas, how have you guys reached out to underprivileged girls? Has that been any focus of yours?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it definitely has. I mean, in our 13 years, we have never said no to a girl who wants to be involved, regardless of what she has. You know, so if she needs bike shorts, we get her bike shorts. If she needs a bike, we get her a bike. You know, if she can pay $0 for the program, that's fine. We say yes. And so our whole mission has really been driven surrounding inclusivity and making sure that we truly are supporting girls wherever they are. And so, you know, we have programs in inner city Philly and Camden County, New Jersey, and these places where finances might not be there and their situations might be a little more challenging on the day to day. And so I've been really proud of our efforts in those areas and our retention rate with those girls. They come back year over year. That's what makes the difference for me. And, you know, seeing a girl light up because she's never had a bike before, and she keeps it in her room and she keeps it clean, and we give her a water bottle and she wraps it back up in the cellophane after every time she uses it.
Cute.
Yeah, the amount of value that those kids place on this experience is something that I never expected. And it honestly melts your heart when you see it, because you're able to provide them an experience that they wouldn't otherwise have. And through that experience, you're building foundations of confidence where they see themselves as part of this community and good at something. And so having that girl show up and have a new bike, have a new bike jersey, not hand-me-downs, you say you belong here to that kid. And so there are so many decisions in our organization that go into seeing every kid and saying they belong.
How have you gotten funding to be able to do all of this?
Well, we fundraise. That's part of what Angela does and is so impactful at doing in our organization. Our co-founder, she's incredible. And so that's been amazing to have that support. It allows us to say yes. And then in addition to that, we have some amazing partners like Specialized and L.L. Bean and Camelback and Garneau that really support us where we're at and provide us the opportunity to say yes.
Are most of your donors, though, just people like going on to your website and donating?
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
Some of our mentors make donations. I mean, that's one of, like, that's an incredible thing to see when somebody donates their time and their money
Right.
to what they're seeing, because they know exactly what they're giving to. So those are actually my favorite donations, is from our mentors.
It's actually, I don't know if this is true everywhere, but at least here where I am, I'm in Salt Lake and Park City, and the Little Bellas program here, it's actually like really competitive to become a mentor. A lot of people want
Oh
to do
my
it.
gosh. Well, I know. So it's wild, because yeah, sometimes like when the program's already started, you'll get people that sign up through the season and you're already going. And so once we start, we don't take new mentors. So sometimes it might feel like you have to wait a year, but that's why, because we train everybody up. But some our programs can fill in a minute.
Wow.
They're very, very popular. It's crazy to think about. But yeah, some of our programs fill very quickly. We use concert ticket software. So it's
Okay.
working. We're getting girls out there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you think that mountain biking is different from other sports that girls are involved in?
It's an interesting question, and I've seen it in a few different aspects. So I've seen girls who have a host of sporting equipment in their garage that they failed at, or perceived to have failed at, perceived to not have been able to do it. And bikes are the great equalizer. I mean, coordination and athletic ability aside, you can bike. And so having something that is so accessible in that right, but also so challenging at the same time, is a beautiful thing for kids and girls especially. Because when you can do it, but it's hard to mountain bike, it's hard to go over roots and rocks and obstacles, then everyone will fail at some point. And right now, that failure to me and our growing girls is so incredibly important to show them resilience in trying. Because when things are easy and you don't teach kids that this is part of the progression and part of the progress, then you're not building a kid who will perpetually try and perpetually propel themselves forward through their challenges. That's actually a taught skill in my mind. And so a lot of our mentor training surrounding mountain biking is to give them the ability to give that to a kid, to teach a kid how to do that and how to get over their failure. And our mentors are incredible at using mountain biking as a tool to empower. And really, the girls just think they're having fun. You know, it's kind of
Right.
like our sneaky side
Right,
agenda.
exactly.
But that's why I love mountain biking for what it is.
What can parents do to do that same thing? How can parents help get their girls stoked on mountain biking and develop their confidence and make it a fun activity?
Yeah, I mean, listen to your kid. It's so important to listen. And a lot of times, you know, girls in a lot of other aspects of their lives are being pushed on a timeline where, you know, that first game is coming up in 3 weeks, and so their skills have to progress at that timeline. And realizing if parents realize that skill progression and progress was one of the most important things to kids growing confidence. It's not winning. It's not any of those things. It's making friends. It's progressing at a skill. It's feeling growth. If you can make that experience about those things and what's fun in the moment to a kid, then it's going to be a win. You know, like for example, if that kid wants to ride through a stream 8 times, let him do it. That's what they're going to remember, you know, and a 20-minute ride where 10 minutes are spent picking flowers is a 20-minute ride to that kid. You know,
Right.
they internalize that as I'm a cyclist, I spent 20 minutes riding. And so if you have an agenda, parents, throw it out the window and follow your kid. Follow their lead. You'll have more fun. Ride through the stream 8 times and pick flowers for half of it, because they'll like it. And once you get that stickiness, that's where it all starts. Then they'll drive longer, further, harder. They want that challenge. They want to grow. It's an innate thing in kids. They want that, but not if they don't like it. So you have to get them through that initial barrier first.
Yeah, I think that's so true. I don't have a girl, but I do have a son. He's 7, and it's such a learning experience coming from being like a mountain bike racer and always being out training and doing these things and just learning to take like 100 steps back, right? And
Yeah.
let it be child driven rather than parent driven.
Exactly. And it's
Yes.
easy to forget. It's easy to get caught up in your day and your pace and forget that, like, picking flowers and putting them in your helmet is the best thing when you're
Right.
seven. You want
And actually, if you allow
to get an
yourself as an
allergy
adult,
attack.
yes. If you allow yourself to do it as an adult, you remember, oh, this is actually really fun for an adult too. You just
Yeah.
forgot somewhere along the way.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
that's what our mentors find all the time. They're like, "Oh my gosh, it's so much easier to be in the present and be in the now and just have a great laugh and leave what was happening in my day and come here and, you know, go for a little ride where we went a mile and that felt like 100, you know."
Right, exactly. So in addition to your mentors, you have pros that are involved as mentors also, correct?
Yeah, so our pro ambassadors pop in and out of the program a little more than our typical mentors do, because obviously they have crazy travel
Right.
schedules. So yeah, we don't necessarily call them mentors because our mentors are there day in and day out. They're
Okay.
true lifeblood of our program.
Got it. Who are a couple of pros that you have involved in the program?
Oh my gosh, our pros are amazing. So my sister Leah, in collaboration with one of our employees, Shannon Casson, they run the Pro Ambassador program together. And so Kate Courtney, Allison Tetrick, Chloe Woodruff, some Nordic skiers like Sophie Caldwell, Catherine Ogden. I mean, there's a whole host of them. We have about 17, 18 in any given year. And they truly interact with our girls. You know, they get to see someone in the sport and learn about them on a personal level, and see somebody who's striving to be the best in the world at something. And you know, there are a small percentage of us that are trying to do that. And so it seems like a valuable experience, at least we hope.
Right. Have you had, I mean, you guys have been around for like 10 years now, right?
Yep, 13.
Oh, wow. Have you had any girls that started in the program that have gone on to become professionals themselves?
I don't think so. It's never
Okay.
been our goal. Honestly, if these girls are healthy and happy and, participating in a number of different things in their life, great. That's great. And if they're equipped with confidence and a strong voice, then that's a huge win. That's a World Cup win to me. And that I can attest to. I know that a lot of our girls are still in their best selves, and it's awesome to see. And a lot of the girls that were in year one, and I shouldn't call them girls anymore because they're women, and they've
Right.
come back and they're still involved in the program. So
Oh,
one of
wow.
the women in Vermont who ran our camps last year was in our very first program when she was seven.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's really
we've grown
cool.
up with her, you
That's
know.
awesome.
Yeah.
And then she's really going to have investment in helping those girls.
And she herself has a frame of reference that I would never have. She knows
Right.
exactly what it's like to be that 7-year-old girl.
And you guys have the B program too, is that correct?
Yeah, it's called the B Project.
And what's that?
So we have a program for girls who age out of our core programming, which is 7 to 13. There are three avenues. They can become a junior mentor, and they can participate in the program that they were most likely involved in, or they can do a weekly ride that truly mirrors like your shop ride. And the goal of that is to acquaint them with a community ride format where they're comfortable and confident going and participating in that. And then lastly, we have the B Project, and that is a conglomerate of different activities: hiking, rock climbing, overnight bike packing, these various pursuits that really push those girls to the point where they will not be good at something. They will excel at something, and they most likely will not be good at it. And having them go through that process where we shepherd them and help them through that struggle, and help them grow through that experience in a way that's uniquely different from a kid in the 7 to 13-year-old range. When you get into high school, that the amount of challenge and potential shift that happens in high school begs a different approach. And so this has been our approach to adventure and pushing limits and boundaries in our growing little Bellas. And it's been incredible to be a part of. I mean, these girls are feeling confident going on different adventures than they would have ever. And some of them are, hiking, going on 3-week backpacking trips with the skills they're learning, and doing these various pursuits that are just pushing their own personal boundaries. And that's what that program's all about.
How can women who are listening right now who want to get involved, what can they do to either get involved as a mentor or to donate?
Well, it's all on our website, littlebellas.com, and you can look for a program in your area under Become a Mentor and select your area and just sign up. Come ride with us. We'd love to. We love getting new ladies involved. And then in addition to that, our donate page is there.
Do you have any suggestion other than Little Bella's, which is really leading the way, but what are other ways that we as women who love biking can help develop and encourage this next generation of female riders?
So it's an interesting question, because if you look at what participation is, a lot of times it's leaving your garage and going on a ride. But there are a lot of ways to encourage, empower, and really participate. And if you think about it, with the growth of social media and the growth of these different connections, we have so much power in just that little heart on our Instagram, Or the purchase of a bike magazine with a female cover. These different metrics that are used more than you would think to drive marketing dollars, to drive product development, and purchasing women-specific product development and all these different things that you have a dollar, you have a like on Instagram, and use that consciously. Whatever reflects your own personal values, use that, because companies who, for example, support our program look at those metrics. They see, oh, they went to Little Bella's, they clicked on the Specialized logo, and now they're here. They pay attention to those things. And so even if you're going to buy a product anyway, if you go through a nonprofit site, or if you go support those companies that support the people that you like, then you're actually using that dollar in a conscious way that you might not think about, but it does truly make a difference for so many nonprofits out there. So you have power in more things than you might know.
That's such an interesting argument for buying women's specific gear. I feel like that's a topic that's come up on like almost every podcast episode I've done so far. But that's a one rationale that we hadn't heard yet.
Yeah, and honestly, I have a lot of women's specific gear, and I'm sure you get the shrink it and pink it, protest. And mine is black. I've had black women's specific gear, and I'm 5'9½. I'm not a typical women's specific model, and you don't have to buy what I might buy, but using your dollar to support what you believe in. And I wasn't actually thinking bikes. I was more thinking like a bib short, or whatever that product is. You wouldn't think about it, but you're supporting those sales. And it's really interesting to see even web traffic. So, for example, Garneau tracks percentages of men and women visiting the site, and they know if there are more women coming to the site, they're going to put more advertisements up that are women focused. We have all those metrics right now with where our technology is, that by even visiting different sites, you're moving traffic in a way that might be more female dominated than you'd think.
Three final questions for you here. The
Sure.
first question is, what is your favorite place you've ever ridden your bike?
Oh, I used to lead bike tours in Italy, and my favorite place to ride my bike is the Dolomites, in particular this loop called the Sella Ronda loop. And you go through five passes, but never quite dip into the valley, so it's a big bang for your buck.
And how many miles is that?
Oh, I think it's like 35, 40. I don't know. Something like that. I can't remember.
That's okay. I've been to Italy, and but I've only ridden in the Alps. I've never been to the Dolomites, so I
It's
know that.
the same flavor. Same flavor of fun. It's great.
Very good. Second question is, what bike or bikes do you ride?
Oh my gosh. I fell in love with a bike. It was love at first ride this last April. It's a Specialized Epic Evo, and it works for me. I have it in black, as I said, and it is my all-time favorite mountain bike I've ever owned. And then I have a cruiser that's a Denelt internal three-speed. It's like an old English cruiser. And then
Nice.
I also have a Lululemon edition Specialized road bike. And I've had that one for a while, but I just love the paint job. And it's really, I mean, it's light and fast and fun. So you can't go wrong.
I didn't know there was a Lululemon specialized bike, but
Oh,
nice.
yes, there is. Yeah, it's a beautiful bike. Yep.
Fun. Okay, final question is, what do you love most about biking?
My answer is probably different than a lot of people, but I love I when it, when we're riding at Little Bella's, a lot of times the easier trails are all in one area. And one of my favorite things is when you're kind of in a spaghetti bowl of trails and they overlap around each other a lot. I love hearing another group chatter and giggle. And you know, you always get that like faint giggly sense of girls in the woods. And that's one of my favorite sounds. So that's what I think of initially. And just that aha moment when a kid actually gets it, and you get to tell a kid, I wouldn't have brought you here if I didn't think you could do this. And then they actually do it. And you go, how did that feel? And they were like, oh my God, that was scary and amazing. And so those are just two of my favorite things about mountain biking. I know that's not like my personal favorite riding thing, but it's one of my favorite things about the sport.
I hope that interview helped inspire you to help develop the next generation of riders. Whether that's registering your daughter for Little Bella, becoming a mentor, or donating an old bike to a girl in need. It's my strong belief that as women who have benefited deeply in our personal lives as a result of biking, we have a duty to help encourage other females to join the sport. One way to do this is to introduce your friends, cyclists or wannabe cyclists, to the femcyclist community. We have this podcast, a website with helpful articles, and an online Facebook group where women can cheer each other on. Please help us spread the word by sharing this podcast episode or inviting a friend to our Facebook group. I love you all. Hope you're all staying safe and sane during this trying time, and I'm cheering you on. Until next time, happy riding.